Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for culturalmining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. When does life become art? Or art, life? Is there a clear border between the two? What is the role of the observer in the lives of the observed? Or the influence of a filmmaker on the film's subject? More specifically, what about the lives of the residents of the banlieue, the working class suburbs that ring Paris, with their ethnically diverse but largely immigrant populations? Well, a new film, an observational documentary called Check Check Poto, gives a look at their everyday lives over the course of a couple years. This fascinating, funny, and always surprising film records the teenagers at a public drop-in center there called Mosaïque in Villette Quatre Chemins à Aubervilliers. It was made by artist, filmmaker, and documentarian Julia Varga, known for her projects, films, and exhibitions in France, Egypt, and online. And I'm very fortunate to have Julie Varga, artist in residence with Ella Goa Cultural Productions, which is part of the Paris-Toronto program organized by the French consulate, here with me in the studio. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
So why did you choose this particular place to shoot your film?
Actually, I was invited by a cultural center, an art center, and they proposed to me to go and spend 1 year in this place. So I don't think I would have had the chance to find it, but if I would have found it, I would have loved to work in it and to film.
But do you think of this particular space as one among many, 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 and just happens to be the one you were placed in, or is it somehow unique?
It's very unique. And actually, there are no spaces like this, very few in France. It's an experimental space. They don't have occupational activities. Youth can come in and sit down and have a chat, have a talk. They can leave anytime. There is no relationship between their schools or their families. So it's a very particular experimental space, which gives a lot of free space to spontaneous talks.
You were there for a long time, but the final film was only 70 minutes long. How do you decide what to keep and what to leave out?
Actually, it's 82 minutes. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. 82 minutes. Okay.
Yes, it's very close to what you say. Yes, and I was there for 1 year. But it was not that easy to find this kind of scenes which are on their own short movies already without being edited. So the whole movie is made by short scenes which are almost not cut. And in order to find a piece like that, which is that beautifully closed and it has an inner dramaturgy, it was not that easy. So I mainly found myself as a fisherman waiting for the fish on the riverside, you know, for days long. And sometimes the fish passes by and you have it.
Oh, so these were the big fish.
Exactly. And also I had to balance lots of things. And I was very much concerned about finishing the film and letting the spectator still be in the desire of continuing to look at more.
Most of the shots are just the kids facing somewhere, not facing the camera, but facing someone off camera, staff in the center. But you rarely show the staff. Sometimes you even have them cut in half or mainly off camera. Why did you concentrate on the kids?
Actually, I thought that this discourse, which is held by the people, the adults who are working in the space, is the norm, is the voice of the society who is calling the youth to the order, to the common rules, which makes us be able to live together. And they were the singular particular part of the scene. So also it created this special, it's like sometime I am portraying this youth as if I would make a speaking, moving photography of them. So maybe it's also my past as a photographer and a fine art visual artist might influence my way to approach. I felt it's more efficient to just film the young people. Also, I let a little bit the adults to appear, but really few.
And you kept yourself out of the scene as well?
Somehow, yes. At some points, they are looking at me or they say to me some little words. I'm very close to them, but I don't show myself.
I understand there's some controversy surrounding the film. I know one of the scenes shows a bunch of teenagers talking about stealing a car, and they leave the scene and say, okay, let's go shoplift at a store. We'll all steal stuff. And it was hilarious and really interesting. But at the same time, it's like, oh, there's a bunch of criminals. So What is this, an honest representation, or were they bragging for the camera, or how do you take this?
Actually, we can doubt of the truth or not the truth of what they say, but mainly this center is successful because they achieve to attract the youth who are not going to the school or who are transgressive, who have this behavior of transgressing the laws. So the film doesn't mean to show an image about the youth of the banlieue of Paris, but mainly to show a place which is very particular where they can enter. And they can even say that I'm going to steal a car and the adult is not going to lock him up right away. So it's a very particular space. The policeman or in the school, you cannot afford such a thing. They can actually speak about their lives in this place.
So the attraction is the candor or the free speech that they're allowed to do there, the free feelings.
And actually the freedom to come in and to go out. So it's really a beautiful place for that.
The kids are... that use the center mostly in their teens, but you have women in their 20s coming back, you have little kids, you have babies, you have adults, practically everyone of every age except very old people. So it's not exactly a youth drop-in center, it's bigger than that.
Yeah, it's bigger than that. It is inscribed in a whole district and area. And I was really lucky to have these adults who are telling that they were as youth for 12 years coming into this youth center. They were growing up while they were coming here. It led me to show a deeper image about how this center is living in the area. And the little baby, which we have the chance to see, can give us a hint of how were they when they were kids and in which kind of circumstances they were growing up.
So there's a documentary filmmaker, an observer, an artist, but do you ever think of yourself as an urban anthropologist?
It's a very, very interesting question because I am often around my project in link with anthropologists or scientists, and they used to tell me that my way of filming is very close to what they do, actually. So
you're someone who studies a foreign population by spending time with them and taking notes, like in the form of recordings on your camera.
I am really taking a lot of time in order to break down my prejudgments or my ideas with which I am arriving and to give myself the chance to get into and to integrate into the community, to understand how it functions from inside and to not be in any judgment, you see.
And you're looking at people, many of them are recent immigrants. They speak French as a second language. You're from Transylvania originally, yes. So you're a foreigner as well. Did you identify with them in that way?
Well, it was much easier for me to film there than I guess it would be for a native French, because French has a colonial past and therefore some responsibilities, which personally, I don't hold.
Right.
And as a new arrival, I feel the right to get close to other new arrivals as an equal somehow and to just share the experience with them.
And do you think their view of you is similar?
Exactly.
I mean, they knew that you weren't from Paris.
I have an accent.
Right.
And so actually, it's really making it much easier for me because, of course, they recognize I'm a foreigner. I am more foreigner than them because I arrived as an adult to France while they were already born in France. So it's even, you know, I have an accent, they don't.
So you, a few of them seem to have an accent.
Well, the Turkish girl who arrived as an adult, yes.
Right.
But mainly they are just speaking the suburban slang.
Oh, okay.
And that's kind of a culture, you know, they are sharing all together.
An indigenous culture all its own.
Exactly.
You've studied other populations, other cultures as well. Tell me about some of them.
I am filming in a Coptic community in Egypt for the last 2 years and a half. So I'm very close to them. And as I grew up in Transylvania, I am also very familiar with some Gypsy communities and Hungarian, Romanian communities from that area.
You choose to find your art or your material, you choose to find it rather than to create it. So
exactly.
You've done projects with found photos on the internet, and you display the work from a region. So do you think of yourself more as an artist or a curator or
That's a good question. Well, actually, a photographer, when he takes a photo, you know, if I take it from the internet, the flue is so big, it's so huge, that in the end, this image is going to resemble me in some way, even though it was made by someone else. But as far as it touches me and I choose it, you know, it becomes, I move it out from that that flue and that aim he has, and I put it in another context, so it changes a lot. I am not really very much concerned with whether I'm an artist, a documentarist, or whatever. I guess those who are looking at what I'm doing are more smart and have a better idea of what am I or what could I be.
Tell me about, I saw your lecture, Kodak lecture at Ryerson. You showed a collection called Me.
Yes.
Could you tell me about that?
Well, this is one of my favorite collections.
It's great.
Yeah, it's really great. So actually, people who are searching for a new companion, partner in their lives, they are portraying themselves with ancient photographies they have of themselves, where they were with their ex-girlfriend or boyfriend, and eventually they would erase the other person in various ways, with different colors and ways to erase the other one. So they are temporarily different times in these photographies. The time when they took initially the photography and they were in this kind of harmony with the person, then there is a time of when they are sending it onto an internet and they are erasing the other one. So this is a humorous and funny way to represent our,
yes,
our relationships as humans.
It's both funny and in a way sort of chilling. Sometimes the erasing is almost violent.
Exactly.
And or else there are ghosts left,
exactly,
where the living people used to be.
And they are somehow, these ghosts are more appealing and more visible in the image than actually the person who is more banal, forcément.
But as someone who finds photos, finds situation, finds people, do you think the world is very vast with a huge amount of art out there and it's up to you to find it and show it?
Yes, for sure. Yes.
So what do you feel about artists who create it all from scratch and do it themselves? Is it the same thing or is it something totally different?
Maybe it's a little bit different, but for me, it is very interesting to confront to the others and to not be alone in front of a white paper or you know. So I like to confront with reality and to get some art out of it, if you could say.
So getting back to you as an anthropologist, when an anthropologist goes to an area or a population, I'm not saying you are an anthropologist, but thinking in those terms, what is it that you gave to them or how did you affect their lives in the banlieue by making the film?
Well,
if at all.
I don't know, in this case, if that was that strong, they were very much happy of being in center of the attention. Because they need attention, as youths need in general, or any human. So they were really happy with me, and they felt like valorisé. I don't know this word in English.
Valorized.
Valorized, yes. Now, the other project, which I am conducting for 2.5 years now in the Coptic community, my presence is even stronger, actually, because sometimes they are inspired by my ideas, so they would have some political propositions or some, and actually we interact, yeah.
And these are Coptic,
yes,
garbage collectors.
Exactly.
In Egypt.
Yes, in Cairo.
In Cairo. And is the fact you are a woman also influence?
I guess
project?
It's a little bit easier for me as a woman, because this is a man-dominated society. And as they perceive women as fragile, I guess they are mostly protecting me instead of making things harder for me.
Oh, so you don't seem, they don't treat you as a rival, but as someone to be protected.
Exactly. And also because I am from another world, I have some new rights, which they cannot give to their own female friends
citizen.
Or citizens. Yes, they cannot, because then it would change the whole system. I don't change the whole system, but they have the pleasure to sit with a woman in a cafe, which is prohibited actually in this area for any woman to sit down in a cafe.
So you're like a special case.
I am a special case, and I think it's also a pleasure for them to experiment that.
And finally, I understand you're planning or you're developing a project taking place in Toronto.
I
hope
so. Do
you want to tell me about that?
Well, I have discovered a very fascinating person who is called Nick Nourani. and who is himself an immigrant in Canada, and who gave a motivational talk in the Central Library of Toronto, where he explained to new arrivals the 7 rules of perfect integration in Canada. And as a multiple immigrant, I thought this was really amazing, and I am very curious to be able to follow him and see how it works.
Very, very interesting. Thanks, Julia. It's great talking with you.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Paris-based artist and filmmaker Julia Varga about her film Check Check Poto. For more information, go to elagoa.com. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.